In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel and pray, guided by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Come, O my Jesus. Come, my heart desireth thee. O my Jesus, my heavenly physician, cast thine eyes upon my poor soul. Look at the many wounds which I have inflicted on it by my sins, and have pity on me. If thou wishest, thou canst make me clean. I am truly sorry for the offenses which I have committed against thee. Heal me then, now that it is in thy power to heal me. Come, O my Jesus, my soul's richest possession, come. I see what is my true happiness. It is henceforth to love thee, and in everything to fulfill thy will. Give me strength to deny myself in everything that displeases thee. Make me embrace with a calm mind infirmities, persecutions, desolations, and all the crosses that thou mayest send me. Come, my beloved Jesus, come, for I love thee. O Lord, I love thee above everything. I love thee more than all the honors in the world, more than all its riches, more than all my family and friends. I love thee more than health, more than my good name, more than science, more than all my comforts. I love thee more than everything I possess, more than myself. Mary, my mother, who didst carry in thy bosom that God whom I am going this morning to receive, help me to receive him with faith, reverence, adoration, humility, and love. Amen. The risen Jesus says to the apostle Thomas, quote, put in thy finger hither and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Close quote. And St. Thomas answers, my Lord and my God. This is the profession of true faith in Jesus Christ. And this true faith in Jesus Christ is what is proclaimed not only in today's epistle, but also in today's Holy Gospel. In the epistle, we hear St. John writing that what conquers the world is faith, and the faith that conquers the world is faith in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is also the conclusion of the Holy Gospel for today, that everything that has been written in sacred scripture is there, so that we may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and believing that we may have life in his name. The reason why we are on this earth is so that each one of us freely and of our own desire, of our own knowledge, again, of our own free will, that we may profess this true faith in Jesus Christ. And it's very important to understand that true faith in Jesus Christ is a Eucharistic faith. There is no such thing as I believe in Jesus or I believe in him as my personal Lord and Savior apart from faith in the Holy Eucharist. And this is confirmed by none other than the Son of God himself in today's Holy Gospel. After St. Thomas makes this great profession of true faith in Christ, what does our Lord respond? May we never forget these words of our blessed Savior spoken today at the close of the Easter octave. Our Lord says, quote, blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Close quote. Our human nature is that we want to see. We want to understand. will never be able to fully understand the incredible mystery of the Holy Eucharist. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. We have many people, many who even call themselves Christians, who they want to see in order to believe. They want to understand in order to believe. They want to interpret the scriptures in whatever way they want to interpret them so that then they can believe. There is no true faith in Jesus Christ that is not a Eucharistic faith. Think about how this has been emphasized time and time again during this Easter octave. All the great professions of faith in the risen Lord that are being made, either when our Lord is breaking the bread, Holy Eucharist, or at the empty sepulchre, also very powerful symbol of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, of the altar. On Easter Wednesday, a few days ago, it's in the morning, Jesus is standing on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, and St. John says to St. Peter, "It is the Lord." Very similar to the profession of faith made today by the Apostle St. Thomas. St. John telling St. Peter, "It is the Lord." And then on Easter Thursday, Mary Magdalene is outside the sepulchre and she exclaims, "Rabboni, Master." A profession of true faith in Jesus Christ. And then on Easter Friday, the 11 disciples adore the risen Lord who is about to ascend into heaven. There, they don't so much make the profession of faith verbally, but through their gesture. They are adoring Him. We could say kneeling, prostrate. What we as Catholics do at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Kneeling before our Lord God and King. And then yesterday on Easter Saturday, St. John enters the sepulchre after St. Peter. He sees the linen cloths lying about and believes. He doesn't say again the profession of faith, but he believes in the interior of his mind and heart, which is obviously what's most important. And then today we have the words of the Apostle St. Thomas, "My Lord and my God." We have been created so that we may profess this true faith in Jesus Christ, which conquers the world and which is a Eucharistic faith. The Holy Eucharist is the sacrament which contains the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, together with His soul and divinity, the entire living and glorified Christ, under the appearance of bread and wine. Do you believe? Because if you don't believe, you cannot have life in Jesus Christ. And it isn't as simple as just saying, "Yes, I believe." Because again, today, it's very tragic, but today, we have millions of souls who profess to be Christian. They call themselves Christian. And yet they don't believe in the great profession of true faith in Jesus Christ that I just outlined for you. I'll repeat it again. The Holy Eucharist is the sacrament which contains the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, together with His soul and divinity, the entire living and glorified Christ under the appearances of bread and wine. So many that don't believe. And also very tragically today, there is a very serious question as to whether we Catholics even believe this. Based on the response, the general response that we have seen in the last month, to this, again, supposed coronavirus pandemic, I for the life of me cannot see how Catholics truly believe this. Listen to Saint Alphonsus Liguori. He says the following. "Animate your faith by reflecting on the majesty of Him you are about to receive. If faith did not assure us of it, who could ever imagine that a God vouchsafed to make Himself the food of His own creatures? But the Church has declared in several of her councils, and especially in the Council of Trent, that our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, is really and truly present in the consecrated host. How beautiful was the reply of Saint Louis, King of France, to a person inviting him to behold Jesus Christ, who appeared in the consecrated host under the form of an infant. The Holy King replied, "Let those who do not believe by faith go and see. I believe more firmly than if I saw Jesus Christ with my eyes." And he remained where he was. Everyone, remember this example of Saint Louis of France. Because what's happening here is, supposedly there's a Eucharistic miracle. He's there before the Eucharist, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And someone comes and tells him, "Look, dear King, come and see this great miracle. Because in the consecrated host, our Lord is appearing in the form of an infant." What would everybody do? And I would say probably every single one of us here, we would do the same. Oh, let's go see the miracle. We flock to go see the miracle. How weak our faith is. Because we want to see. We want to touch. We want to understand. That's not what our Lord says towards the conclusion of today's Holy Gospel. He says, "Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed." This is the true faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why admirable testimony that we have from King Louis, Saint Louis. King Louis the Ninth of France. He lived in the 13th century, about the same time as Saint Bonaventure and Saint Thomas Aquinas. Because he says, no, he stayed where he was before our Lord present in the Eucharist. And he says, remember his words. Again, another great profession of true faith in Christ. We have in today's Gospel Saint Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And Saint Louis of France, he says, "I believe more firmly than if I saw Jesus Christ with my eyes." This is the Catholic faith. And compare it. Make a serious effort to compare this with what is going on right now in the Catholic Church. Everyone's giving all kinds of reasons why we can't go to Mass, why we can't receive Holy Communion, public health, people dying, this and that. All kinds of different reasons people are giving. And the true faith in Jesus Christ has to be, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, here present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I believe that more than anything else, more than what I see with my eyes. If I see somebody dying, if I see somebody sick, it doesn't matter." Listen to the profession of true faith in Jesus Christ by four of the Church's greatest saints, Saint Augustine, Saint Bonaventure, Saint Thomas Aquinas, and Saint Gertrude the Great. Listen to how they're expressing this true faith in Jesus Christ, which is a Eucharistic faith. And as you hear their professions of faith, really ask yourselves, do I truly believe this about Jesus present in the Eucharist? And I can tell you right now that if we Catholics really believed these professions of faith that I'm about to read to you, there isn't a way in the world that we'd be canceling Masses and be doing all the things that we've been doing in the last month. So here we go from these professions of true faith, those great saints. "Thou art Christ, my Holy Father, my tender God, my great King, my good Shepherd, my one Master, my best Helper, my most beautiful and my beloved. Thou art Christ, my living bread, my priest forever, my leader to my country, my true light, my holy sweetness, my straight way. Thou art Christ, my excellent wisdom, my pure simplicity, my pacific harmony, my whole guard, my good portion, my everlasting salvation. O most sweet Lord Jesus, the bread of angels, the nourishment and refreshment of holy souls, our daily and supersubstantial bread, the source of life, the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, the fountain of eternal light, the torrent of pleasure, the richness of the house of God. I'll take a brief pause here and interject my own words here for just a moment. Notice how in this profession of faith, this one that I just finished, our most sweet Lord Jesus, present in the Eucharist, is invoked as the source of life. The source of life. And here, the point is, ask yourself, do I truly believe this? If I truly believe that He is the source of life, how can I fear that anything on this earth can take away my life, or can harm my life, or even harm my physical health? And the problem is, the problem that we've always had, is that we fail to believe. And that we're like St. Thomas. We want to see. And if I see something, oh, somebody got sick because of this virus. Oh, then I take it seriously. Back to the professions of faith of the four great saints. Oh, most sweet Lord Jesus, my hope and my whole confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure and my joy, my rest and tranquility, my peace. O most sweet Lord Jesus, my food and refreshment, my sweetness, my fragrance, my sweet savor, my refuge and my help, my wisdom, my portion, my possession and my treasure. And two final ones. Here we have St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Gertrude the Great. Thou art Christ, the physician of life, the fountain of mercy and goodness, the light of eternal brightness, the Lord of heaven and earth, the bread of angels, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Thou art Christ, paradise of the delights of God, heavenly physician, mirror of the eternal splendor, King most beloved, inexhaustible fountain of pity, mighty King, splendor of the Father's glory. I want to give you a few final examples here of this true faith in Jesus Christ. Again, this is what saves us. What saves us is true faith in Jesus Christ, not any faith. Not just someone coming up with their own way of believing in Jesus or interpreting the sacred scriptures in whatever way they want to interpret the sacred scriptures. True faith in Jesus Christ. Again, we have example after example of this during the Easter octave in the Holy Gospels. Very clear allusions to the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. I just gave you a beautiful example. Hopefully you won't forget it, from St. Louis of France. This he believes more firmly than were he to see with his own eyes Jesus himself. And then here I'll give you a few final examples that are taken from some of our very beautiful prayers that help us to prepare for Holy Communion and to make acts of faith in our Blessed Savior present in the Holy Eucharist. And again, as you hear these professions of faith, ask yourselves, do I truly believe? Oh my God, I believe with an unshaken faith that in the Blessed Sacrament received in Holy Communion, there is the infinite and almighty God who has existed from eternity, by whom all things were made, and without whom was made nothing that was made. Consider seriously this profession of faith. And you tell me, anybody tell me, that if we Catholics truly believed the profession of faith that I just read to you, a brief profession of faith that's in a prayer, if we would be reacting the way we've reacted over the last month. I will repeat this one. Oh my God, I believe with an unshaken faith that in the Blessed Sacrament received in Holy Communion, there is the infinite and almighty God who has existed from eternity, by whom all things were made, and without whom was made nothing that was made. Next one. Oh my God, I believe with an unshaken faith that in the blessed sacrament received in Holy Communion, there is the very same God who is heaven's beatitude. What gives all the angels and saints in heaven their eternal happiness is the vision of God. Same God present in the Holy Eucharist. If I really believe this, how could I fear anything that this world throws at me? Another one. Dear Jesus, I believe most firmly that Thou, the second person of the most blessed Trinity, art verily and indeed present under the appearance of bread and wine. Another one. I steadfastly hold that in the adorable sacrament I am going to receive, there is the same living God and man over whom the angels sang at Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest, and over whom on the Mount of Transfiguration a voice from the clouds was heard saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the final one, I declare with an unshaken faith that in the Holy Eucharist there is the very same soul that was sorrowful in the garden, even unto death. The very same body that was scourged at the pillar and fell under the weight of the cross. The very same flesh that quivered with agony upon Calvary. And the very same blood that purpled the hard rock. Hopefully all of us will do our very best to cooperate with God's grace so that we can grow in true faith in Jesus Christ, which is Eucharistic faith. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that he who receives Jesus in Holy Communion with the strongest desire derives from it the greatest grace. If you have a great, great desire to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, you're going to receive more grace than the other one that doesn't have such a great desire. And obviously, that desire is based on faith. What St. Alphonsus Liguori says about desire, it also applies to contrition for sin, faith, reverence, adoration, and love. Meaning, the person who receives our Lord in Holy Communion with the greatest contrition for sin is going to derive from it the greatest graces. The person who receives our blessed Lord in Holy Communion with the strongest faith is going to derive from it the greatest graces. And think about this. Because I am convinced that over the past 50 years, the Catholic Church as a whole, even though we have the Eucharist and we've been receiving our Lord in Holy Communion, that we've been doing it not with a very strong faith, with a very weak faith. And so we haven't derived that many graces. And we're seeing the fruits of this. We've been seeing the fruits of this for the past 50 years. It doesn't mean that our Lord isn't present in the Holy Eucharist. But where is your faith? And remember this. Because today there are a lot of Catholics that also, when I explain to them the absolute need to recover the traditional Latin Mass, one of the first things they tell me is they say, Father, well, but our Lord is really present in the Eucharist in the new Mass. And I say, well, let's assume yes for now. That's not the whole story. Because it's extremely important with how much faith are we receiving Him. And with how much faith are we adoring Him and loving Him in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And here's where we begin to see big, big problems with everything that's going on in the new Mass. Remember these five things. Contrition for sin. Faith. Reverence. Adoration and love. And those who receive our blessed Lord in Holy Communion with the greatest of these, greatest contrition for sin, greatest faith, greatest reverence, greatest adoration, greatest love, are going to derive from the Holy Eucharist the greatest graces. And those who don't, those who just go through the motions, and those who think, oh, we can change and we can update the Mass, change what is the most sacred thing that we have as Catholics. We can change it. We have the authority. Well, we'll see what kind of graces they're deriving from the Holy Eucharist. There's a real question mark as to their contrition for sin, their faith, their reverence, their adoration, and their love for our Lord in the most holy Eucharist. I'll conclude with a final little prayer, and it's a little prayer that expresses how another great mystery of the Holy Eucharist, how the Sacred Heart of our Lord is there present in the Holy Eucharist. The heart that has loved the world so, so much. And in this ejaculatory prayer, we express how may the heart of Jesus be praised, adored, and loved with grateful affection at every moment. In the tabernacles and in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Remember this prayer. Because today also, with this supposed crisis that we've got going on, we have a lot of Catholics that think, oh well, it's okay if this Sunday we don't have Mass. Maybe in a month when this is over, we'll be able to go back to Mass. That's not Catholic. What do I mean when I say that's not Catholic? As Catholics, we don't say that may our Lord present in the Blessed Eucharist be adored only in times of non-crisis. No, He is to be adored, loved, and thanked at every moment. Doesn't matter what else is going on. By doing what we're doing, we betray our own Catholic faith and we betray this very beautiful prayer that is truly a Catholic prayer. And we conclude with this prayer. May the heart of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament be praised, adored, and loved with grateful affection at every moment in all the tabernacles of the world, even to the end of time. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.